This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, folks. Well, it's Friday the 13th already. Mm. My name is Rich Bradbury. Who's this?
Frida Liu.
It's 12:06 here in the studio, and it's the Friday before another long weekend, isn't it?
The last until August 31st. Who's counting? I am.
Of course you are. Anyway, thanks for joining us, folks, this afternoon. A whole bunch of stuff lined up for you today. We're going to be talking about is it time to ditch the yearly performance review? It should be an interesting topic of debate. And if you want to get in touch with us regarding this, get us via WhatsApp. The number is 018-789-8899. And on Twitter, we're at
BFM Radio.
Now, the pandemic, as we know, it's certainly shaken up our work lives for worse or for better. With that in mind, while in-office presence and work-life balance have been brought up for further debate, what about another factor of work we normally don't revisit or, you know, redesign? Mm. Is the yearly performance review really the best way to gauge employee feedback and judge increments and other remunerations by? Look, it's fair to say that even the highest performing employees often feel a sense of dread and anxiety before heading into an annual or biannual performance review. Receiving feedback can be stressful, and when a year or a half year's worth of work is packed into a mere hour-long conversation, the stress is compounded. It can be especially nerve-wracking to think about all the things that are impacted by these one or two review meetings, from compensation to career mobility. Now that discussions have amped up about the elements of work and work culture we've often taken for granted, a lot is riding on the quality of performance review conversations for employers as well. Historic numbers of individuals have shown that they're willing to leave a job if they feel undervalued. We've been speaking about it a lot, you know, the great resignation.
And it was my conversation this morning on Open for Business. So now, meanwhile, companies are finding that it's much harder and more competitive to attract talent than ever before. You know, cater lunches or bring your pet to work days will no longer suffice by themselves. So at the end of the day, people are any company's greatest assets, and continued investment in their growth and development is critical to long-term business success. Providing an ongoing mechanism for transparent two-way conversation is critical to helping employees and managers build a trusted, transparent relationship that ultimately leads to optimal performance and business impact. The bottom line is that the tradition of doing performance reviews only once or twice a year is broken, and it needs to change. So for the sake of agility and pace of innovation, employees need to have more frequent touch points with their managers and colleagues to discuss what's working in the areas for continued growth. As an employer, you have an opportunity to stand out, attract and retain the best talent if you're willing to provide your people with these touch points throughout the year.
Okay, so fundamentally, what's the problem with annual reviews? Let's have a look through. The truth of the matter is that employees show up and perform every day.
Right.
But when managers try to summarize a year's worth of achievements into an hour-long conversation about performance, it gives employees at best the impression that this one moment in time is how they're being measured for their work. And at worst, it provides employees with feedback long after it's actionable.
Right.
What can possibly be gained from discussing how an employee could have done things differently on a project that was completed 4, 5, or 6 months ago? It can be especially painful to learn that one's compensation, bonus, and opportunities to take on bigger projects and stretch assignments have been hit by things that happened a while ago.
Right.
Think about this. If you're led to believe that annual performance reviews are your only chance at upping your salary, would you dwell on things that didn't go well in the past year, or only focus the review conversation on highlighting the positives?
Right. And, you know, managers also aren't mind readers. It's not just employees who are apprehensive about annual or biannual performance reviews. They can become an administrative nightmare for managers who feel pressured to produce novel-length reviews about their employees. And the work only increases if the manager has multiple direct reports. Also, when managers are compelled to capture everything about their employees in a single review, more often than not, unintended bias seeps in, right? What do you call it? The recency bias.
Yeah.
right? Yeah. You just remember something they did recently, and not remember what happened for the beginning of the year. So, for example, in order to provide a balanced review with both positive and room for improvement feedback, the manager may overemphasize things that the employees don't do well. Or if a manager has dozens of reviews to work through by year's end, they may give everyone similar feedback because it's easier and faster. Mm-hmm. So it's no surprise that 75% of employees think that traditional performance reviews are inaccurate, and 70% believe that they've received unfair ratings in their reviews, according to a recent Gallup study.
Okay, speaking of reviews, ratings, many companies might opt for a rating scale with their reviews in an attempt to circumvent bias and provide structure. But in most cases, it's not the employees who benefit from being quote-unquote graded for their work. How is an employee supposed to feel when they receive a 3 out of 5, for example?
Right.
Ratings may be a helpful tool for certain business functions to keep tabs on people and assign value to employees' talents, but they don't actually help employees improve their work. Not to mention, with any sort of rating scale, it's difficult across the board to know what that means for different people. What exactly guarantees a top mark in some people's eyes may not be good enough for others, so it isn't as logical and foolproof as one may initially think. So, if if you're going to a restaurant, you know if it's got 5 stars, you're going to eat there,
Right.
But three,
is a hit or a miss today,
right?
So with all these teething problems in place, how on earth do we actually fix it? So if the point of performance reviews is to provide clarity and improve employees' performance, they should be built around a system that gives employees, including managers, the feedback that they need to be successful in the moment. What's more, they should empower employees to customize how they ask for feedback. Not all work is quantitative data. The starting point for updating any performance review structure is to ask employees for their feedback on what's working and what needs improvement. This can be done via engagement surveys, hosting focus groups, or other methods of soliciting feedback. Some good questions to ask include, have they been properly trained on how to fill out a performance review and give feedback to their peers? Are they clear about their evolving roles and responsibilities do they know how they can progress in their careers at the company? Are they getting helpful, actionable feedback?
Now that's a big deal. If you don't know exactly how to fill in your performance review things, a lot of things can happen. They can be skewed one way, they can be skewed the other way, and everybody walks away feeling unhappy. And not to mention, review conversations work best when they're set up in a way that feels, less daunting.
Right.
And one way to alleviate that fear factor is to change the cadence of how often discussions about performance happens. More frequent informal conversations between managers and direct reports lead to more frequent opportunities to address what's on the employee's mind, both the good and the bad, and help them course correct based on real-time feedback. More regular check-ins also affords managers the opportunity to adjust how they're working with their direct reports to best support career growth. Companies also well served by making it easier for their employees to give and receive peer feedback. And peer feedback can be immensely beneficial. It allows employees to gain an understanding of how their own work is perceived by their colleagues. And this, helps them figure out how best to utilize their own skills and how they can collaborate with their peers to be more productive on the team.
All right. Another benefit of peer feedback, the global nature of work today means it's more common nowadays for an employee to work with someone on one project and then not work with them again for 6 months. So by being able to give and receive peer feedback in the moment, employees can pull in input from various sources to ensure their managers the progress of their work and how they show up. Regardless of all this, at the end of the day, your employees should know how they're doing. The manager should know whether the reports want to go with their careers and how to best support them. If your performance reviews are delivering on those goals in an empathetic way, there shouldn't be anything inherently scary about the process. And in fact, performance reviews can be one of the strongest anchors for reinforcing company values. So when done correctly, it should encourage learning, promote self-reflection, and empower a growth mindset. And if you don't get it right, your employees will find another company that does.
There you go. As usual, we are not the experts on this topic, although, we can pretend to be. But for more thoughts on this, we'll be turning to Sharmini Kania, life coach and founder of LifeWorks Life Coaching, after the break for her insights. More on that when we come back. If you want to get in touch and talk to us about this, WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and Twitter, we're at BFM Radio. Let's have some music. It's Joni Mitchell with Help Me here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Because friends matter. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites on this very lucky Friday the 13th. My name is Rich Bradbury in the studio with...
Frida Liu.
1219 here. We're talking about, is it time to ditch the yearly performance review? How the pandemic has certainly shaken up our work lives, for worse or for better. We are debating whether or not having a yearly performance review really is the best way to gauge employee feedback and judge things like increments and other things like, you know...
Having a chat with you earlier on. I think like... Performance review, annual, biannual, isn't going to cut it. I believe it should be done quarterly at the very least. And that's sort of like a progressive, right? So you know what's happening. And it's not just what the employees have to do. Mm-mm. Your reporting manager, how are they also put it down and how they are supposed to help support you as well?
It's a two-way street,
It's a two-way street, right? I can't do certain things if you're not supporting me. So then the accountability is on both parts.
And now that we're all so used to discussing and debate and meeting, over, you know, video calls. Or there's no excuse to say, oh, I don't have time to do this. And if it's a quarterly meeting, it can be a 10-minute meeting as opposed to a one-hour sit-down session. Right. Yeah, much easier. Now, anyway, we've been talking a little bit and we want to hear from Sharmini. Sharmini's on the phone. She is the founder of LifeWorks Life Coaching. She's a life coach and neurosemantics trainer. So, Sharmini, your thoughts on this. Let's start off with a simple question. What should the purpose of a performance review actually be?
One of the most important but often overlooked purpose of a performance review is that they are a form of communication. As such, they abide by the same rules and the best practices as any other form of communication. Succinct, clear, and relevant feedback is much more likely to be absorbed and acted upon. This feedback mechanism allows the employee to aim for and deliver on his assigned job descriptions and for the management to acknowledge his achievements. However, this aspect of the performance review has been very limiting. Companies have to innovate in these VUCA times, and growth is the imperative measure if their business survives or not in this age of rapid change. Performance review also needs to evolve to act as performance management and to invite employees to stretch their goals and grow beyond their areas of work, so they are now exploring and into new frontiers for their company to venture into. If you're not constantly growing, you are dying, says T. Harv Eker. And this is so true for companies now. And the team leads now need to shift from not only writing up performance reviews to also managing their team members' area of growth in order for them to individually and as a team perform better.
I like that quote by T. Harv Eker, Sharmini. Now, Sharmini, are annual performance reviews effective? Why or why not?
Annual performance reviews are simply not effective, as the employee has delayed feedback only after the fact, which comes in late in the year and has no recourse to improve or correct their action in the present moment. More often than not, these reviews are looked upon as a report of year-long documentation of misdeeds that would justify delaying the expected pay increase or promotion. The period during performance reviews can be a low demoralizing phase in the year for employees. This is when you hear the most grouses of dissatisfaction and disappointment and see resignations in the company. When management understands how these reviews are communicating how their employees are doing emotionally and physically at their job, then they will want to have this information more frequently.
All right. So what are the benefits of structured and regular performance review sessions?
A quarterly performance review will give structure and interval for vital feedback to further improve employees' achievements and results. This will facilitate more frequent communication between leaders and their team members and to foster a sense of care and concern for the person versus stressing on their output and to deliver on the number game all the time. Team members' sense of well-being is imperative for them to be productive and motivated. Frequent communication will create closer team connection and see to more team achievements in the long run. Over a course of a couple of years, management will be able to track the most productive season for each employee. A pattern of highs and lows of each employee can be well documented. A sort of rhythmic performance feedback. This will eventually allow the individual departments to manage their team members' performance better, anticipate low productivity cycles, and set up systems to compensate for it. Businesses can no longer ignore that their employees are real human beings living real lives mm-hmm. outside of work. Mm-hmm. There needs to be more compassion for people and what's going on in their lives, and giving them allowances to tend to their other priorities outside of work. Unreasonable work hours and overwhelming responsibilities have spurred the exodus of mass resignations after the pandemic. People will no longer tolerate this imbalance of work and life harmony. Organizations need to wake up and set in place sustainable solutions to resolve this human problem.
Right. You know, so how can leaders approach providing performance feedback without it being a scary or intimidating process for the employee?
A great leader will often be sought after for their feedback. If no one's coming to you for feedback, well, that's your feedback. Care for your people, and your people will care about you and do their best because of you. A leader who is aligned to her values and walks her talk will be focused on her team members' growth and progress. There is an art to giving and receiving feedback that can be easily mastered. Feedback is never personal. Feedback is information that current action or behavior is not achieving the desired outcome. In this context, leaders can act as a coach and give perspective on their team members' blind spots. Stick to the facts, and this information becomes valuable indeed. A leader who is also trained as a coach will be able to further support their team member to dive into deeper, invisible issues. For example, mental obstacles involving limiting beliefs and values realignment in order to inspire and motivate them to peak perform.
Sharmini, do you think it's purely the responsibility of the team or the company leader to provide performance feedback? Or can this work on a more peer-to-peer basis as well, do you think?
In the age of collaborative leadership, performance reviews should also be a collaborative effort. We work so we can earn an income. And to also thrive and make a difference where we spend most of our waking hours at work. We seek validation from our peers and also our leaders. It is basic human nature to want to be appreciated and respected for our good, honest work. Reviews are truly a way to do that. To have our achievements and accolades documented into our formal work repertoire. It is about time for us to build our corporate culture that generously encourages celebrating and acknowledging each other. We can set up a feedback portal simply to give positive reviews of each other in a monthly fashion, raising the vibe at the workplace. Happy people equals happy outcomes.
All right. You know, Sharmini, in the age of remote and hybrid working, how would that affect one's approach to providing performance feedback?
The working world has long awaited for and finally experiencing the age of remote and hybrid working styles during the recent pandemic. And we have come to physical realizations. Our businesses have not yet collapsed and instead thrive in such working arrangements. However, we still have managers who operate from presentism. Presentism is the old school style of managing people. I need to see you physically in front of me working. This is a hard mindset to break, but necessary. Employees have gained a sense of autonomy over the waking hours in their lives. How much they want to invest at work and how much they are unwilling to sacrifice at the expense of their personal life. Management need to pivot and allow for these flexible work arrangements if they want to retain talent. And acquiring feedback on performance is not at all impacted in these work environments. Instead, it has become more simple and as quick as a Zoom call away.
Okay, I've got one final question for you then, just before we let you go. To what extent should performance feedback impact employee compensation or you know, remunerations, you know, bonuses, pay raises, that kind of thing.
It is truly unfair that information in performance reviews are the only deciding factor in how one can receive a pay rise or get a promotion. This is how so many hide and cohort with each other on how to ace on their performance reviews. This current system needs a revamp. Introduce a yearly basic pay raise across the board that everyone can expect. And in order to get bigger bonuses and promotion, team leaders and members need to work together to design personalized goals that focus on challenging their status quo. The main aim of this personalized initiative is to manage individual and team performances to ensure personal growth that is in alignment and in tandem with the company's strategies for overall growth and sustainability. Team members will now have to work beyond their original job responsibilities to gain their higher and additional rewards.
Great. Thanks so much for that, Sharmini. That was Sharmini Kania, the founder of LifeWorks Life Coaching. Frida, you said...
Yeah. All right, there's a comment here on WhatsApp, which is very interesting. Why employ them if you need to guide or rate them? And I kind of get that as well. And I think like sometimes in certain roles, maybe you want to outsource with freelancers, right? Mm-hmm. But I think the moment if you employ them, company culture changes, things changes, business direction changes, and I think then you'll be able... You need to guide them because otherwise it's just in your head and your staff don't know what's going on, right?
And there's also a reason that the whole mentor-mentee thing exists, yeah. You know, without a mentor and you're not guiding somebody,
right.
They could be making mistakes.
So that's where I guess, like, you know, if you can sort of work with freelancers or the people in gig economy and you're not worried for their morale, Maybe that could be one way of solving the issue that they're not part of you. But the moment you hire them and employ them, I think there is a greater responsibility as employer to take care of your people.
I would say so. Anyway, right, it's time for me and Frida to wrap up for this week's Enterprise Biz Bites. Thank you very much for your comments. If you did miss any part of this show and Sharmini's recommendations there, don't forget you can download the podcast wherever you normally get it from. You can head over to the BFM website or you can download the BFM app, which is available on the Apple App Store or Google Play. Don't go anywhere, though, because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it's a bit of a discussion with Luno. And if you have been following the crypto market over the last few days, be careful, folks. It's been a very, very, very volatile time. And with Bitcoin's advent and the rise in popularity of the cryptocurrency universe, teething pains obviously have emerged, including the necessity for regulation, transparency, and investor protection in the face of immense volatility and outsized gains and losses. David Lowe, the Asia Pacific General Manager of crypto platform Luno, will be discussing these issues. He was on The Breakfast Grill this morning. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. On behalf of myself and Frida, have yourselves a wonderful weekend and a long break. This has been Enterprise Biz Bites here on BFM 89.9, the Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.